WERU is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. Thank you.
Just a few seconds before 10 o'clock, and you are tuned to WERU-FM, 89.9 Blue Hill, 99.9 Bangor, and streaming online at WERU.org. Maine Arts Alive with your host, Michael Donahue, is up next.
And welcome, one and all, to Indeed Maine Arts Alive. I am your host, Michael Donahue. And this, of course, is WERU Community Radio. The word community is really important because you make up our listeners, but you also make up our talent, which is unusual. And so community theater is very special. And I have someone very special here. Actually, I could go so far as to say I have two guests. One is the new executive director of the Grand, and the other is the Grand itself. A little big to get in the room, but I'll let Nick talk about be the representative for the Grand. But it is there, and it is a wonderful theater. And if I have my facts right, that opened around 1938, somewhere in that range.
1938. Yeah.
And it's I was fascinated to learn that at one time it held boxing bouts.
Yes, when I read that, I thought maybe I should bring that back. Get some boxing matches.
Well, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Not at all.
The theaters that are left in this world are representative of what was at one time a thriving marketplace. And you're now manager of a theater in Ellsworth, Maine, that housed many types of acts over the years.
Yes.
What's that feel like?
That's a great question. It has taken the initial response was like you just laid out, and a beautiful Art Deco theater built in 1938 with this deep history, and now I'm gradually acclimating myself and associating myself with the space, which always kind of transcends from it just being a building, so yes. That even the memories and everything
right,
start
when
to
you
take,
walk in, when yes. you walk inside.
Yeah. Yeah, it just starts to take on that weight, and it does. It hits you that, especially the more people you meet, just how many people have been through there, and how many, for lack of a better way to say it, just all the memories that have been made in there. It's got a lot. Oh, 80 years next year.
So what is your responsibility given that?
Oh, God, wow. I didn't have the word responsibility completely top of mind. I guess this journey was seeing the description of the position, wanting to live in Maine, and then saying to myself, do I fit what this theater is looking for?
Yeah.
Right? If it wasn't perfect, I didn't see us making such a big dramatic move, even though we wanted to live in Maine.
Because you're from Colorado.
Come from Colorado. For over 20-some years, we lived in northern Colorado, north of Denver. Yeah. Loved it. Beautiful home and mountains. And so I guess my responsibility is to endure, keep that tradition enduring, maybe add some new ideas and some new thoughts, but otherwise just do good work.
That is an achievement in and of itself.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your background. You Colorado, where yeah. you're a theater guy?
Yeah. I born and raised in South Dakota. Here's a good one for you. I was sort of a hybrid kid. I think I always was sort of an actor. If I look back at all the times I got in trouble in school, class clown, I guess, would be legitimate. I wanted attention, absolutely. I lived in a small town for half my childhood and then moved out to a dairy farm for the second half of my childhood. So I was a small town boy and then a farm boy. But I always thought about being an actor, and met my wife at college. She was a singer and an actress. Realized that destiny had brought us together earlier than I had planned.
Yeah.
That the world of theater was not a completely secure thing to offer. So, So I got my teaching degree, and both my wife and I were teachers for a while. And then together decided we wanted to give theater a shot.
Oh, yeah.
And we moved to Colorado.
And you founded a school.
And we founded a school. I did a lot of work for other groups. The main connection is, I think our second year of marriage as teachers, we wanted to do something fun for the summer.
Yeah.
And I had worked at a summer camp in Maine in college. So I said, why don't we go back to this summer camp? I loved it, had a great time. We'll go back as a couple, and we'll work for this summer camp in Maine. And we did.
Whereabouts in Maine?
Freedom, Maine.
Freedom.
Hidden Valley?
A bit north.
Yeah, Hidden Valley Camp in Freedom, Maine. We had a great time, met some great people. And that's what brought us back to Maine, was that experience.
As you're probably learning, Maine is a very special place.
It is.
It's I have the luxury of being a host for an arts show, and I don't never run out of guests.
Wonderful.
And how do you see yourself and your theater becoming a part of that scene?
Boy, that's great. I'm amazed at the amazing connection between Maine and Colorado.
Really?
I meet people who have family there, have gone to school there. I just met someone the other day who's going on vacation there. There's this weird spiritual connection, which is great, because what drove us in Colorado to do all the adventures we did there was exactly what you said. There was this deep artistic vein going through Colorado, and I see the same thing in Maine. And I believe that extending that open arms to everybody to be a part of the grand, that it's their grand to see things and be a part of things. I would love it just if we expand our level of people who do something at the grand tenfold in the next year or two. I would be thrilled, because it really belongs to everyone.
Yeah, what size house is it? How many seats?
480.
480.
Yes.
Which is relatively small for a house that size.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that give you any pause?
No. It gives me an achievable goal. There are a few things I've been a part of since I've been here that have filled the house. I would like to just, my eye on the prize is to steadily increase our offerings to 50, to 100, to 200, to eventually sold out. And by golly, Michael, if we get to the point where we just have no room for patrons anymore.
Okay.
I think at that point we can build a new theater or build onto it.
All right. You have lofty goals.
I have a lofty goal.
But that's good.
Yeah, you know, sure. Why not?
I mean, anyone who's in theater knows that you've got to have lofty goals, because reality sometimes is hard to take.
Oh, yeah. Reality will never be your best friend. That's for sure.
So where – you did found a school, though, right?
Yeah, yes. Well, oh, yeah. So we taught for a while for some folks – had a great experience with it. I taught in New York. We moved to New York for a couple of years. My wife was in The Fantastics off Broadway.
Oh, a great play.
She was Louisa in The Fantastics. It was amazing. I saw it 90 times. She worked with Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt. It was kind of a pinnacle in her career to do that. So enjoyed it tremendously. And in the meantime, I taught for two different groups, mainly as an artist in the schools.
I see.
So when we came back to Colorado, mainly just because we missed it, I said, let's start our own school. So we started the La-Di-Da Performing Arts. And well,
where did that name come from?
My wife. So
blame her.
Which is even more interesting, since my brother-in-law, her brother and I were the teachers and the key people for over 10 years in this, over 20, 19 years, 19 years. And we, every time we had to say the name of it, we kind of went, yeah, it's kind of odd for the two of us to have called it La-Di-Da, but it was my wife. And it sticks. It sticks with you, that's for sure.
Yeah, you remember it.
You do, La-Di-Da. Right. Yeah. And it was sort of the attitude, too. We had been and were in professional theater and had bumped into people who took it just a little too seriously. So we wanted a little bit more of a free idea to our school that, yes, we taught you professional etiquette and skills, but at the end of the day, we're not fighting forest fires. We're entertaining people.
What age group are we talking about?
I did all ages. Yeah, oh. I did K through seniors. I had great adult classes and little kid classes. We never ventured into pre-K.
Special teaching.
I was just going to say that takes a special person.
Not me, that's for sure.
Not me.
Yeah. Colorado, New York. What from those experiences do you bring chiefly to the Grand?
I think it was a huge exposure to just so many people. I look back at where our ventures took us, and to think about, you know, my graduating high school class was around 30.
Yeah.
To come from, you know, the deep plains of South Dakota and to be able to say that I've met people through summer camp from all over the world.
Yeah.
I worked in the inner city of New York. I worked in Brooklyn and Astoria and Far Rockaway and the Bronx. For a kid from South Dakota to have that deep of exposure and experience did what you would hope it would do. It just frankly made me love people. I love people. I love the idea that everyone is just waiting for an opportunity to be brilliant. And the best thing I could ever do is if I have one small part of giving someone an opportunity to be brilliant or to express themselves or to have fun at any level, I feel like I've done a good job.
Well, that's the role of a teacher.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's exactly.
I direct like a teacher, too, or I teach like a director. Well, something like that.
Interestingly enough, as we were talking before the program began, my background is very similar in many ways.
Yes.
And I taught for many years. And I remember once a student coming up to me and saying that they hadn't planned on going to college, but this experience had turned them on.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When that happens, that's rare, but it's great when it happens.
My favorite ones have always been parents who pull me to the side and say, no, this is the shy one.
Yeah.
You know, or she really can't sing. And then by golly, 5-10 years later, she's the one in the front of the stage singing her heart out.
Yeah.
So those are always my big wins.
How can you how to put it, a very sincere trait that you are talking about of yourself. Yeah. How does that lend itself to the Grand?
I guess the best way to think about it is I'm going to make mistakes. I was just thinking about on the way up here about, boy, I get distracted. I get dismissive a little bit without meaning to be. But I hope what I believe encouraged and convinced the search committee and the board of directors to hire me is I think you always understand I'm being extremely sincere. And I like to think that's why dogs and kids sort of dig me.
In that order?
In that order. Okay. Dogs and kids.
Yeah.
Dogs run at me and children often run at me. I always believe they see in me there's no avarice or there's no condescension.
Yeah.
There's just me. And I have my weaknesses as well, but I sincerely am here to make a life in Maine, to be a part of the community, and to do the best job I can for the Grand. And at the end of the day, that's what I hope I walk away with.
So you were sold by the board. You sold the board by your sincerity.
Well, I guess it was what I often said within the interview process was, you know, they would ask me distinct questions about the grant. I did a lot of research, And I just kept saying to them, now, here's my strengths and here's what I'll do. From what I can tell, here's what I will try to do and how I can be of best service to you. If this is what you want, you know, I'm your your guy. But if you don't want the things I'm talking about, don't hire me. Because I'm not going to be able to alter what you think you want. This is what you're going to get right here.
The grant has a position in the community, but I'm not sure that the awareness of the grant and its the variety of things that can happen there is on people's mind in Ellsworth. How do you get it on their mind?
Boy, that's very true. That was one of the things that drew me to the job as well, was the profound, I could just feel the profound weight of the grant and on this beautiful Main Street and the people that I talked to, the deep history, people getting married, you know, met on that stage and got married, or they came there as kids and saw movies, and just that rich history to it. But I think, I do believe there is a lack of understanding of the grant. First of all, that's a nonprofit. And I don't believe we'll ever be able to break a small percentage of what ticket prices can pay for. That's hard to communicate to people. So I've bumped into that, like, oh, you guys are fine. You got all the money you need. Oh, no. No, we do not. The grant is not there to make money. Right, the grant is there to serve a purpose and be an outlet and be a huge part of the community and be a central place for the community to express themselves, to meet, to socialize. And I can't even imagine what event I would ever do that would make a dent in the expenses. The operating expenses alone, I mean, the gas prices on, you know, the fuel prices alone to heat that place. Yeah. So I think the biggest thing to communicate is, it's still yours. Come be a part of it. Come back and see all the things. We're trying to fill every moment with some experience, from live music to classes to theater to great movies. And your patronage allows me to do more daring and exciting things like an education program.
Well, that's you read my mind. That's my next question, because obviously in your career, education has been important. Yeah. But the listeners to this show over the last, three, four, 5 years I've been doing it, recognize that education is my big thing.
Yeah.
That arts and education work together beautifully.
They're inseparable in my mind, and we, you know, as a teacher, my whole career, I just shake my head at all the. There's always has to be a new report every few years saying, arts are directly connected with grade point averages, and the minute you take it out, grade point averages decrease, and then arts get cut, and the grade point averages plummet. Oh, we better put arts back. I don't know how many times we have to take that kick before it's just accepted that arts and education are inseparable.
So do you reach into the schools, or do you encourage the schools to reach into the grant?
Both. You know, the biggest thing I'm working on right now with some very talented people, and frankly, working very hard to fund it. I don't have available funding for an education program, but it's so important that I'm going full steam ahead and still looking for that support. I hired an education director, Jasmine Ireland, who has deep history with the grant and in the area, and another artist named Nicole Cardano. And we are back in the Ellsworth School District doing outreach, connecting with the curriculum, and bringing kids back to the grand to see shows, but that are directly connected to the education programs. And that's important.
One of the stumbling blocks, I think, over the years has been that teachers only have so much time. And they have to get, X number of facts across to their kids.
Yes.
And the going to the Grand or even having the Grand come in is often seen as a moment I haven't to spare.
Absolutely. We have to make it that those are just as important moments, that the kids and everyone can have fun and experience the arts. But I don't know of an artistic experience that doesn't have some level of wisdom or learning or connection in them. And we just have to make that more apparent, make it more vital for the schools.
I'm talking with Nick Turner, who's the executive director of the Grand in Ellsworth. Quite a background and quite an exciting sounding agenda. Let's talk about the Grand itself a little bit. Now, it's had an interesting history. It started, built in 38, once was a house for boxing matches,
yes.
I'm told.
Yes, originally built as a movie theater.
Yes, right.
So it's been sort of retrofitted to accommodate live theater.
Right.
And I'm learning more about the history all the time. We recently, one of my odd characteristics that the staff quickly learned about, especially when I was here without my family. I was here without my family for several months while my 8-year-old daughter was finishing school in Colorado. What else am I going to do except stay there late at night and dig deep into the catacombs? But I found, you know, buried in the corners just all this rich theater, posters and playbills the artists that have gone through there and the rich history that's gone through there. It carries a huge weight upon it, but you don't want to rest on that. You want to take that history and make exciting things happen. And we have a brand new projection system and sound system. That was a huge campaign last year before me. So our digital film capabilities and our live streaming capabilities are wonderful, including 3D. So the Grand has joined the 21st century. We have 3D capabilities like you can't believe. So that is something we're really going to exercise is our 3D movie capabilities.
I love to see that, how that's going to happen.
Wonder Woman 3D this weekend, Michael.
Oh,
and,
really?
And Wizard of Oz in 3D. We're doing a 3D weekend.
Oh, good grief. Someone once told me that I too ran a theater, 1,300-seat house.
Wow.
But it's the Grand seems too big for a movie theater. You got 400 seats, and you're heating those 400 seats in the winter, and there's 20 people watching the movie.
You know, I'm happy to say that the movie crowd is growing exponentially, that we are constantly experimenting with what that means. With like, we're not in the position yet to do first-run movies.
Right.
And I'm not sure the Grand is a first-run movie house. I don't know yet.
Arts house?
Arts house. Is it an arts house? Is it really just something you should or are thrilled to see again on a big screen? I'm experimenting as well with connecting with other partners, nonprofit organizations that may be able to use that capability to raise funds, documentaries. For example, we're doing the first episode of Ken Burns' Vietnam in partnership with the library. And that's a worthy thing. I don't know what that experiment is. The truth is we have it. We have this amazing thing. It was very generously sponsored and supported by people. And my job is, what does that mean? And how do we build that audience and make sure there's things they want to see?
Well, you kind of touched on, I think, the next thing to talk about, and that is that people have to need something to give money to it.
Yes.
Do people need the Grand?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm even more convinced of it. And I'm reminded of it constantly. I met a... I, if you walk by the Grand, you haven't met me yet or you haven't been there in a while, I hope you do come back very soon. But you'll know me quickly because if I see anybody hesitate outside the Grand through my window, I just attack like a shark.
So watch out. Don't walk by the...
be careful. Yeah. If a very sweaty, bald man comes running up to you with at least a smile on his face, my earnestness may overwhelm you. But I saw a gentleman stop by and he hesitated, so I pounced. And he was considering moving here. And one of the reasons he was considering moving to Ellsworth is... he was taking this beautiful, nostalgic walk down the street, and I think he was from Michigan. And he stopped at the Grand, and he said, I got to tell you, he said, this street reminds me of my childhood. I grew up on a street like this. I grew up with a theater like this. And back home, they tore it down. They tore it down, and they redid Main Street. They tore down stores. I don't even recognize it anymore. Now, of course, we can't sit back and say, often we can't sit back and say, I want the childhood home. You know, I want the home of my childhood. But we can yearn for the quality of it, right? So what he was saying is, I love that and that and that. What he loved was the quality of that Main Street and the Grand's place on it. And he wanted to recapture that. And I think that's the importance of it.
One of the things that I have heard spoken of is that Ellsworth is kind of divided in two. One is the strip of the modern store, the Denny's and all of these, all Beans and so on.
All the hotels and everything, yeah.
Then there's the strip that you're on, which is the older portion of Ellsworth.
Yes.
Someone once said, and I come from Philadelphia, and this has happened a number of times in Philadelphia, why don't the arts take over the street? And it become a place to go for the arts.
I think that is not only a question to be answered positively, I think it's has a potential. We now have the Hearts of Ellsworth. The Heart of Ellsworth, right? Yeah. And their goal with Cara Romano, their goal is exactly what you're saying. Now, the stores down there already have exactly what you want to be.
That's
there.
That's right.
The Rock and Art Shop and the restaurants and Flexit and the downtown market. Yeah. And there's artists in the main Grind building. Right. And even the pub on the corner with musicians playing in it. Yeah. And I'm with you. Let's make downtown Ellsworth have the vibe of where arts go and where people go to be friends and to entertain and to enjoy each other.
Yeah. Well, that's a laudable goal.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Why not?
Okay. The guy is fresh in town, right? You speak about a nonprofit, and of course that has its assets and its liabilities for an organization such as yours.
Yeah.
But usually what happens with nonprofits is you get a lot of volunteers working for you, doing the things that you can't afford to pay someone to do.
Right.
How do you see them as an important part of the Grand's future?
I see them as a vital part of it. We have some great volunteers. One of my main goals is to see not only how I can nurture that, but also give them opportunities to do something really interesting and exciting. And I see even the actors that are in the shows we're doing as volunteers and the tech crew and I want to be in the position where a volunteer comes to us and they're like, yeah, you know what, I was in marketing. When I, you know, in my career, or I know I did this a little bit, and we'll do that for the Grand. I don't need to pigeonhole you in anything. You come to me and say, you know, I've always wanted to do this, or this is a skill set. Do you have anything I can do? I think we not only benefit from volunteers, we just blossom with volunteers. Because volunteers aren't just, they are the Grand. right? We have a small staff. They have me. We can't do everything, and we are only better for great volunteers.
Amen.
Yes.
The interesting part of one of the interesting, many interesting parts of nonprofits is that you're going out to foundations and corporate foundations and so on, not begging, but again, asking. This is, for someone who hasn't been a nonprofit, this is a big learning.
You know, it is. There were similarities enough where I think I haven't detracted from what I said to the search committee and the interview committee. When they did, they said, you're probably weakest in fundraising. And I said, yeah, that's true. I've never done that kind of fundraising before, but I have raised money to do for-profit ventures.
Ah.
And I believe the root of that is the same. And that is, I have to give you a really good reason to invest your money.
You have to meet a need.
I have to meet a need. So even if we have a generous donor come forward, if I can't go out there and ask someone to buy in or to invest in the future of the Grand unless I've given them very vital and good reasons to. I wouldn't be able to ask them. So I have to create those reasons. And we've had some people step forward basically save me and save the Grand several times in the last 6 months.
But you can't count on it.
I don't count on it. I can't count it. I have to go forward. But I believe if we stick as a team and we stick as an organization into the idea that the Grand is everybody's and I'm open to all suggestions, and if I create great things, that will happen. People will support it.
On that lofty note, I have to just do a station break
Please.
Here for a moment. I'm speaking with Nick Turner, who's the new executive director of the Grand here in Ellsworth, Maine. It sounds like a match in many ways. Let me do the real stuff here. This is WERU Community Radio, and this is Maine Arts Alive. We are 89.9 in Blue Hill, 99.9 in Bangor. And, of course, we're on the web and the Internet and all of that stuff. And, you know, you can go back, and if there's a broadcast you missed or one you'd like to listen to again, you can look on our web pages and you can trace down to where the archives are. And there's Maine Arts Alive, and they're all there. So 20 years from now, when Nick decides he wants to find out what he said 20 years earlier, he can go to the website.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to the Grand here a little more. It's 400 seats. Can you describe it to a stranger a little better than just that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can't drive down that street without seeing it.
Yeah.
It's got that tall tower, and now we're conniving to figure out how we can light that tower a little more prominently because it's beautiful. And I do know the Grand recently renovated that whole marquee and that whole front. It's gorgeous. And it draws you. It draws you to the front, and then you see the posters, and you see the traditional box office ticket booth, which I still want to use. Right now it's sort of a display area.
Yeah.
And you walk through those double doors, and you take this incline up this but there's right away there's a will call window with these Art Deco lights, another set of doors, and then you're in the lobby. It's a very warm and welcoming lobby with a little concession area. And then through one of two double doors, you have your choice. And then you're in the Grand space, the auditorium space. And it's built into a hill. So I quickly realized that when you go to put a set on stage, you have to go to the second floor to open the doors to put a set on the stage.
Oh, good grief.
Because the second floor is actually ground level.
Oh, gee.
Which it has in itself built-in problems. When we have a heavy rain, here comes a little bit of leakage down below. Because we're building to a hill, ladies and gentlemen. But it carries that weight of that great things can happen in that space. That's my biggest reaction when I walk in there, that this space is ready for something exciting to happen. And that's what I want to see in there every day.
What would be the most efficient venue for the theater? In terms of raising money, in terms of drawing the community, is it movies? Is it live theater?
I got to tell you, at this point, I think it's everything. One of the things that drew the most people in the recent past, or my tenure, the 195th Army Band yeah. came and did a free patriotic concert.
Yeah,
and we filled those seats. It was free. But it was, you know, it was one of my most wonderful experiences.
Audience, pardon me, but I have to say this. I managed the theater many years ago and had that same, probably the same bloody group. And they played their hearts out.
They're amazing.
And the place was, with 1,300 seats, were full.
Absolutely. On their feet, celebrating, being together. It was a moment of community. And these, like you said, these folks played their hearts out and worked hard. It was wonderful.
Do you see live theater in the sense of perhaps having a company or working with certain companies? Because it does, 400 seats is pretty good.
Absolutely. They already have the Grant already had going a lovely theater program. That's not going anywhere, including the fact that we're working right now on the fall production, Our Town. It's community driven. It's community actors. They're volunteer actors. They're actors of all different experiences and levels, and they represent the area. I have people from different communities, not just Ellsworth, from Stu Ben and I think Hancock,
probably Blue Hill,
Franklin, Blue Hill. Yeah. I want more of that. I don't see the Grand as just Ellsworth. The Grand is the whole regions. That will always be there. There'll always be these community-driven shows. I do have an aspiration to add professional theater, especially in the summer. I believe there's room for it. It'll be different than what we normally do. It'll be small cast, maybe. I'm still playing around with those ideas. But yet another reason for those people from away who are driving down Main Street to stop in the Grand to see some live entertainment. And I think there's a need for it, too.
Interesting. There was talk at one time of the Grand forming its own company.
I think the community theater company is, I'd say that's what it is. It's been called in the past, I think, the Ellsworth Players,
yeah,
something like that. But I believe I think that's a good goal, Michael. I think we're going to do that. Make a set group that's there. And then, of course, always be open to other groups. We have Gilbert and Sullivan Society doing a show there, and GSA, George Stevens Academy, does their show there.
Yeah.
Tempo will often do shows there. I love that as well.
How about some of the, like, GSA and some of these private schools getting involved? I think that's a lofty goal.
Well, they're doing one of their shows there.
Yeah.
So we are a venue for them to do their shows. But I guess lofty goals, that's what we're here for.
That's true.
No one has convinced me yet that that's too lofty a goal. When I've went to that, there probably are some. Getting some artists to appear there is a lofty goal, because we don't have a lot of seats.
Right.
So there are famous people that we all know that we, why don't you get those guys at the Grand? I'm like, well, you know, you got to charge about $1,000 a seat to pay for them. But you never know.
Well, you know, Noel Stuckey was
part of
the past of that theater.
Yes.
And a couple, a year or two, maybe whatever, 3 or 4 years ago, they had an anniversary.
Yes.
And he got up on stage, and it was remarkable.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting do more work with him, but I am suggesting that he could help you in that way.
Absolutely. He's a great friend of the Grand. And I got to tell you, I almost met him at the Blue Hill Fair. I completely recognized him. He was walking by, And I'm, you'll hear me talk about being from South Dakota, how we hate to impose.
Yeah.
And I started toward him like, oh, my God, I introduce myself. And he was on the phone. I'm like, well, I'm not going to interrupt Paul Stuckey on the phone.
Yeah.
But you will find one of my idiosyncrasies is you'll be like, why didn't you ask me, or why didn't you say hi? Or it is my Midwest desire not to impose upon anybody.
Well, it's also, I hate to tell you, but a Maine ethic.
Is it?
Too.
Okay, that, good. I'm right at home.
Mainers, I would say, most likely would rather hear from someone else than talk themselves.
Yes.
And when they talk, it's very brief, and it's a yeah or a yeah or whatever, but I can't do Maine accent at all.
No.
But that's one of the treasures of the state.
Yes.
Is that it is inclined to keep its own business, but yeah, when needed, when called upon, they're there.
Yes.
Yeah. And we also talked earlier on about this corridor, which I see as Blue Hill down to Stonington, the Deer Isle, and so on. The fine artists that are there. Now, is there any way that you might start to work with that group of people, of artists?
Absolutely. There's several things. We have the Maine Craft Week is coming up. We're calling the Arts in Ellsworth, or Arts of Ellsworth, Maine Craft Week. That's something the Heart of Ellsworth has been spearheading. And we're showing a handcrafted Nation at the Grand. So we're showing this documentary about that. But in the lobby will be three fiber artists during that. I'm talking to another local artist about doing a presentation or a talk back along with another documentary involving art. We just did I Know a Man, Ashley Bryan, on Sunday.
That is an absolutely wonderful piece.
Yes.
I'm glad you're working with them.
Yes. So where we can best benefit artists, I believe it's in that way.
Yeah.
And giving them another outlet to share their work or to share their love of art. But again, I'm open to anything. Absolutely. Including renovating one of the office spaces. I know that Paul Stuckey was involved in discussions about turning the big office spaces into a smaller performance space called the Baby Grand.
Yeah.
I wish that was my idea because it's so good.
But you got supports in there. They
have plans already. They have architectural plans. So we got to make this happen eventually. What it gives us the opportunity to is, like you said, an audience of 40 or 50 goes into that little space instead of being lost in the big grant.
They call that a black box.
Yeah, like a little flex space or a black box.
Most theater companies have this space.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they're proving grounds for people who are going to move up the ladder.
Very good.
And black boxes are wonderful, and I'm glad you're thinking about that, although
absolutely,
I still can't see how it's going to fit. But
yeah,
that's okay. When you have an idea like this, how do you go into the community to promote it?
That's this particular idea was in place already, and I'm going to embrace it and take it as my own. So, I guess the communication is you have to validate it. You have to say, well, it sounds all good, but what are the numbers on it, or what does this really do? And then you really think about it. Well, it's going to cost this. I think it comes down to numbers. It comes down to people like numbers and other people like ideas. Yes, the idea of having a poetry reading in there, or a young artist, acoustic artist, or a book club sounds great. But will there be enough of it, and how does it make money? Then you add to it. Well, we'll, instead of charging an admission fee or a space use fee, we have refreshments available, and we make our money on refreshments.
Yeah, black boxes rarely make money.
Right. So it's like you said, if they're a proving ground, well, does it become a funded young people's a poetry program, right? And we get funding for it. We want to expose poetry to young people, or we want young artists to come in, or we want to do a book club. And then I don't think there's any – you don't stop. You don't just stop and say, like, well, how am I going to fund that? you have to go and find that funding. If it's worthy, if it's a worthy thing, someone's going to believe in it, and that's who you have to find.
Can you get it going before you have funded so that you, when you go to the funding, you can say, look, this thing is real?
I did that with education. So yeah. I believe in it so much, and I have such vital people actually. So I've 30 years I've been in education. With Jasmine and Nicole and the other people I've connected with, I have full confidence that this is my background. I have such confidence that I'm really just a partner in this and a funder and a supporter. And I said, we got to do this, guys. So we're doing it. And now, yeah, you're right. Now I can go to people and say, well, we're already in action, but this is the amount of money I need to keep this
right,
going.
Right, right.
Yep.
Right, right. And, you know, the fact that you are meeting a need, and if it correlates
yes.
with the needs that foundation wants to support, you got it.
That's it.
Yeah. And I think that the idea that I love that idea of an arts corridor. I still think
that
could really work without sacrificing a lot of the store owners at this point, but make
Not
it better for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 10 years from now.
Yeah.
If you're back on this show,
yeah,
what would you say was my greatest achievements?
Wow. couple of them. With my background, and I think there's full support for it, I love the idea of grand created content. So we're already doing our own adaptation of Alice in Wonderland. So I'd love 10 years from now a library of very unique, grand-branded, especially children's pieces, and a vibrant and such a strong education program that it's regional, that it may be no nationwide, why not? And it is the arm of the grand that brings the arts to kids like me, who I never really even saw play till college. I saw it on TV. That's where I saw my live theater on PBS.
Right.
I saw Our Town on TV with Bobby, you know, Robbie Benton and Hal Holbrook. I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
That's where
yeah.
I saw my theater. Otherwise, yeah. I never would have seen anything. I want to be that group that has touched a kid out in the region who never saw live theater, and by golly, it sparked them enough they want to be an actor or a writer or a creator.
The only thing that bothers me about your agenda is that 400 seats.
400 seats. You want it bigger? Should we go bigger?
Well, you're not going to be able to go smaller with any. So I have no answer to that. All I know is that 400 for certain venues that could make you money is not enough seats.
Well, let's make that a 10-year goal,
yeah.
Michael. That the grand, if it is part of a bigger vision, that that Ellsworth and downtown has become this art center of a arts corridor. I frankly agree with you. I think Maine can be an art state.
It already is.
It already
in a sense.
Is.
Fine arts, certainly.
Let's embrace it.
But, you know, I came up to Maine 25, 30 years ago to work in theater and could not find work.
Yeah.
And so as far as a theater state, I don't think it will ever be that.
Let's do it. No, don't say ever.
Okay.
Don't say never.
All right. There's a challenge. Now I have to have you back in 10 years.
10 years. Okay. I'm making a note. 10 years from today.
what are some things coming up at the Grand?
Lots of neat things. We just did something so cool. And one of the things that really drives me this past weekend, and there'll be more coming. One of the things I discovered getting here are these wonderful foundation relationships. The Maine Community Foundation is a huge supporter of the Grand. They're fantastic. There was this fund there, the Jan van de Vettering, this wonderful Dutch mystery writer, had set up this jazz fund at the Maine Community Foundation, the Von Devetering Fund. And it was sitting there. And I thought, well, I love jazz. I love mysteries. I love writing. And this guy set up this fund. We just did a live jazz performance of a brand new soundtrack to Nosferatu with Mark Tipton, wrote it and performed it with his quartet, Le Sorcerer's Perdu, I think it is. I am not French. And it was amazing. They played it live while we watched Nosferatu. Those things are exciting. We're going to do three more, and it's everything you'd like. It's unique. It's jazz. It's film. It's deep. It's interesting. And it uses someone's passion that they wanted to fund. Yeah. It feeds into their passion. Other things we have coming up, like I said, 3D Weekend. We always have interesting films. We start the National Theater Live broadcast soon. Yeah. Met Opera starts soon. Yeah. That was another one of the most wonderful experiences I had as, a kid from South Dakota, was my first opera at the Grand. Yeah. And the crowd that was there. It was special. But then Our Town. So live theater in October is I'm directing it mainly to connect with people, and I hope everyone comes sees that as well. So live theater, live music, film, all these interesting things. The only way to find out is to grab a calendar and go online.
The reaching out to so people know, quite frankly, I live down in Blue Hill. I guess it's in the paper, but I just don't see it. How are you going to raise levels of visibility?
Well, we do a lot of social media, but I think being on the radio like this is great. But not everybody is our internet people. The website, I feel, is more informative as well. Email lists are really good. But I'm not shy about just a good old-fashioned handwritten letter.
Yeah.
If you want me to mail you something, I just have to know that. You can call us. And get information. We try to place the information everywhere we possibly can. Yeah. And we're also building a great relationship with the Ellsworth American. So I hope that gets that information out there.
Yeah. And from what you've been talking about today, education is another big part of what you want to do. What kind of things, again, are you looking to do there?
We started with an outreach program, brand new. Nicole is actually in the schools today talking to, I think, 7th and 8th graders or 8th graders about Gothic literature and Edgar Allan Poe and Mary Shelley. Uh-huh. And in the next couple weeks, those kids will come to the Grand and see Hampstead Theater's Frankenstein. Connected to the curriculum, live theater, all those things are in action. And those things are happening in the Ellsworth School District. I'd love it to be in all kinds of school districts. And then we are open to any outreach or anything we can be of service to teachers and to schools. I love it myself to come to the classroom and connect arts and the classroom and things like that. So education is that important enough to where they want to see something, but my ultimate goal is people want to be part of something.
Some years back, when funding became difficult for many reasons, the economy and so on and so forth, many of the schools pulled theater or arts out of the curriculum.
Yeah.
And they said to theaters especially, you come in and fill the void for us.
Yes.
And that left theaters and performing arts organizations with a lot of work to do, with not a lot of money to do it.
Yes.
And they failed, many of them, to achieve the goals of education.
Yeah.
How do we convince schools, teachers, that it's worth the moment it takes to do theater?
Well, you said something very important early on, and this has always been my aesthetic. Every time I go to approach a school or work with a school through my career, it has been, and I got reprimanded one time, by the way, it's been to convince the teachers and principals that we are an asset, that we are a supporter, that we enhance what they're doing, and we're not going to be a waste of time. That even the stuff in our PAC program that kids come to see at the theater, we have to make sure that those things enrich what they're learning it isn't just a moment of entertainment.
Connected with curriculum.
Right. But yeah. I made a mistake once of sitting down with some teachers and overemphasizing how little work they were going to have to do that I was just, and I had one veteran teacher turn to me and say, I'm not scared of work. I don't mind working. She was just very adamant about, I just don't want time wasted.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be fluffy. I don't want you to come in and entertain the kids and then walk. And they're just like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
It's got to be interesting and fun, but they have to learn something as well. And that's our goal. That's our job.
So do you see a component of the Grand is touring?
I love that.
A little truck with a Grand on it?
I
going from
love
school
it. I do. That's another 10-year goal.
Yeah.
Maybe a 3-year goal. A truck going out with young actors to perform out in the area.
And very, very fundable.
Very fundable. Yeah. And very important.
Well, it sounds to me as if you and the Grand are a good pair.
I hope so.
Just for you, you're as a person, what goals do you have for yourself as a result of this position that you attained?
Wow. You know, our motivation is I always go back to, we didn't move to Maine for the job. We were very seriously thinking about moving to Maine, and the job was a wonderful bonus. And I think the goal for me is I can't forget to connect with people outside of the Grand as Nick Turner.
Yeah.
And become a part of the community even beyond the executive director, right?
Yeah.
To volunteer in ways I can, to also be me part of the community.
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to be here a long time. So
yeah.
I keep telling people, I hope the Grand works out or it's going to be awfully uncomfortable when we're sitting down for coffee. Because you're going to see me everywhere.
Yeah, well, I can't help but believe that that's nothing but good.
Good, yeah.
I can't help believe that it's exhausting.
It is a little exhausting. My wife is being very patient with me, but she eventually is. You know, she made me take a day off. It wasn't really a day off, Michael. I cheated, but she made me take a day off the other day because I think I hadn't taken a day off in like 3 weeks, and they've only been here since June, so she's noticing now that I've got to balance that a little bit.
Well, okay, this has been an interesting hour.
I'm good. Good.
I applaud your enthusiasm, your energy, and I think it's what's been needed. Just as an observer and nothing more or nothing less, I've seen the Grand go through a number of directors who I think were after personal agendas. I'm not sure that they were after the agenda of the theater wholeheartedly. But it's a tough road, a theater that size in this country. It's just kids are going to the internet and one thing and another. I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you, Michael. It's been very enjoyable.
This was Nick Turner, who's the executive director of the Grand here in Ellsworth, Maine, and may someday be executive director of the Arts Corridor of Maine. One never knows.
10 years.
Thank you very much. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you, sir.